on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck up bowl, fuck up stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Just a no. Headshot, case closed.
What is up, guys? It's Andy Purcell, and this is the show for the realists saying goodbye to the lies, the fakeness, and delusions of modern society. And welcome to motherfucking reality. Guys, as always, we start off the week with Q and AF, because we're going to get better this week, aren't we? So this is where you submit the questions and we give you the answers. Now, you could submit your questions a few different ways. The first way is...
guys, email those questions into askandy@andyfrisella.com.
Or you can go on YouTube in the comment sections of the Q&AF episodes and ask your question there, and we'll choose some for the show from there as well. If this is your first time listening, we got lots of new listeners listening. We have shows within the show. We don't just do Q&A all the time, all right? Tomorrow, you're going to hear CTI. That stands for Cruise the Internet. This is where we put interesting topics from society and culture. We speculate on what's true. We speculate on what's not true. And then we talk about how we, that's us, the people, have to solve some of these problems going on in the world. Other times this week, we're going to have Real Talk. Real Talk's just short, 5 to 20 minutes of me giving you some real talk. And then we have 75 hard verses occasionally, all right? I don't think we have one this week, but it's an occasional episode. That is where we take someone who has used the 75 hard program to get their life in order, and we bring them on the show, we interview them, we talk about how their life was before, how it is now, and how you can make the same improvements in your life using the Live Hard and 75 Hard program. Now, if you're unfamiliar with 75 Hard, it is the initial phase of Live Hard, and you can get this program, which is the world's most popular mental toughness, mental transformation program. You can get it for free at episode 208 on the audio feed only. We've only been doing YouTube for about a year. So go to episode 208 on any audio feed and you'll get that program for free. There's also a book available on my website called The Book on Mental Toughness. And that's at andyfrisella.com. That describes the entire Live Hard program, 75 Hard plus 10 chapters on mental toughness, why you need it, how to use it, how to make it work for you in your life, and some case studies on some very famous people on how they have used mental toughness to create the life that you know them for. With that being said, we don't run ads on the show. You're going to notice that's a big difference between other shows. I don't take money from people to do this show because I don't want people having an influence on what my opinion is going to be and what I'm going to say. We talk about controversial subjects, and most people aren't okay with that, but I love it, and so does DJ. Mm-hmm. And so we have this little deal that we make with you guys, and it's called Pay the Fee. And what it means is, you know, please support my companies, but it also means share the show, okay? We're constantly battling censorship and shadow bans and traffic throttles and things like that. And if you want the message to get out, we need you to share the show. So that's the deal, all right? That's what we mean when we say pay the fee. So don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
All right. What's up, man?
Happy Monday.
Yeah.
You just yellowed on yellow on yellow, huh?
What?
I mean, the hat, the drink, you like yellow.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like black and yellow.
You like black.
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
I cannot stand black.
We know. And we're aware. Everybody knows this is a show. Yeah. All right, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Yeah. It's a great Monday. Got a great start to the week. And yeah, everything's good, man.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's make some people better.
You want to make some people better?
I do.
All right, well,
you know, because that's part of the equation of how we get our country back on track. We have to get better as individuals.
Yeah.
We have to be the opposite of what they want us to be. They want us fat. They want us sick. They want us stupid. We got to be not fat. We got to be healthy. We got to be intelligent. They want us to hate people. We can't hate people. We got to love people. We got to get along. We got to find unity. And that comes from personal excellence. And when I say personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion, it is the ultimate rebellion because it's everything that they do not want us to be. And it's our job to be it. And that's what this Q&AF episode is all about. It's about getting better, about making us better. It's about becoming more personally excellent.
Yeah. Well, let's do it, man. Yeah. Guys, Andy, question number one. Hey, Andy, my father was and still is a very successful entrepreneur here in Texas. He's a great man, raised me right. And I was blessed to grow up in private schools, play all the sports I wanted, the family vacations 2 times a year. A lot of people would call the silver spoon treatment. I am 24, and I want to get into entrepreneurship myself. I had a talk with my dad, and he wants to foot the bill for whatever I want to do. I'm sure most people would hear this and be excited. The only issue is I don't want the help. I spent most of my life getting the daddy's credit card treatment from everyone, and I don't want that to be the narrative. How would you suggest I move through this? Am I being dumb not to take the capital? I know he's doing this out of love because that's how he shows it. Or should I stick to my heart and grind it out on my own?
Well, look, man, I think that's a very valid question. I think I totally understand where you're coming from. I think it's very important to our personal identities and how we see ourselves and our self-esteem and our confidence that certain things are done on our own. And when you have a situation like you have, which a lot of people would kill to have.
I
could certainly understand the aspect and the perspective that you're coming from of wanting to do this on your own. And so there's a couple ways you could do this. One, you could do it completely on your own. And dude, that's great. I think you can do it. Lots of people do it. Two, you could let your dad advise you and you could let him help you and you could give him a piece of whatever it is as in a silent equity part. So that way he's not really giving you anything. He's going to earn something from it. Three, you could arrange some sort of loan that you have to actually pay him back and to get you started and things like that. But aside from all of these things, okay, one of the biggest blessings that I've had in my business career was that nobody ever gave me money. Nobody ever gave me a loan. Nobody ever like gave us, you know,
a small million dollar loan.
No,
right?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Right. And it's now there was some help along the way in certain circumstances for sure. But here's the reality, okay? When you have a lot of financial resources and you're just starting out, you are not intelligent enough, nor do you have the experience to manage that financial resource effectively. And a lot of people who start in business, they say, well, I don't have any money. Oh, I don't have rich parents. Oh, I couldn't get a loan. Nobody believes in me. Good, because that's going to force you to learn the skills that you need to learn. And no different than an NFL player or a lottery winner or someone who comes into a lot of money, if you have someone invested in you in day one and you don't know what the fuck you're doing, I can promise you with 100% certainty, you're going to squander that money. And you're going to squander that money away and put yourself in a hole that sometimes you can't get out of. So one of the things that I'm most grateful for is that it was so hard that first 10, 12 years, I learned how to manage the money that came in. So when I started making money, I didn't just go crazy doing shit. I continued to run things and we continue to run things we do a lot with a little. That's what we do here. We live below our means. We take small risks. We exercise every single benefit, every single technique, every single thing. We guerrilla market. We do the small things and we have the attitude that we're not just going to throw money at the situation. We're going to make the absolute most of the money that we invest to get the biggest return. And when you don't know how to manage the money, just like I was saying with NFL people, what happens is
lottery winners.
Yeah, you think that you're going to buy your way to success, but you can't do that. Okay. When people get $1 million investment, they like to spend it on marketing, but they don't understand that there's a time aspect and a familiarity aspect to marketing. So if you go out and you spend $1 million over the next 4 months thinking it's going to propel you to the promised land, you're going to look at 4 months and you're going to be like, fuck, I just spent all this money. I didn't really get that much out of it, because you don't understand that an effective advertising campaign takes time. It takes familiarity. It takes people time to absorb the brand and understand what's going on, see things repetitively. And because you, and dude, there's other things too. You don't know how to stack inventory. You don't know how to fund your labor costs. You don't know how to balance any of your balance sheet or your profit and loss. You don't fucking know because you don't have the skills. So there's a big lesson in this. And I believe that if you want to become an effective entrepreneur long-term, you're going to learn most of those lessons when you have to get creative with no money and still make it work. The reason that I can coach people and help people and I'm good at it, and the reason that people listen to me, is because I have a set of skills that most people don't have. That set of skills was manufactured from all of that time that we had no resources, that we had to figure out the solution anyway. So if you try to jump past that point in time because you get someone to invest in you, or you get someone to give you money in some way, shape, or form, you're trying to skip all of these important lessons. And even if you do create a scenario where you find success, you're probably going to make a lot of mistakes and squander the business away because you haven't learned the skill sets needed to maintain that cash flow and be responsible with those financial decisions. So that's what I would tell you. I would tell you that if you're going to get help, that help should be minimal. It should be highly advised by people who know. And it should be something that you pay back so that you can maintain your sense of pride and self-esteem and confidence that you did this, but also you're not eliminating the process where you're going to actually learn the skill set. Okay. So that's my take on that question. I think there's going to be situations where you might need a little bit of money to get things to move. But those things, like I said, should be under advisement, that you should seek counsel on how to do those things when you don't know. And you should be very cautious with your moves in the beginning so you don't put yourself in a hole that you can't dig out of.
Yeah, dude, this is a super interesting perspective because I feel like nobody hears this side of that coin. You know,
no.
Most people look at, you know, the trust fund kids or whatever you want to call, and I don't want to call this guy this, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they look at kids that are brought up in way better circumstances and feel like, well, bro, you have it easy. You have everything you need. Not understanding that, like, there's probably this dilemma in a lot of these guys' heads.
Well, yeah, dude. And the people who grew up without that, they want to be that.
Right. Thinking right? That's just going to solve.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If you have no resources and you have to scrape your way through and you have to get creative, be thankful for that, because that's what's going to build you the skill set that's ultimately going to allow you to compete. When I have to compete with people, people have their hands full with me. Do you know why? Because I went so long without getting any help at all. And some of these guys that I have to compete with, they just started out. How the fuck could that guy know what I fucking know?
Can't. No,
couldn't.
You can't. No matter how much capital you got.
Couldn't know it.
Yeah.
Okay. So no matter what business I'm in, no matter what industry I'm in, a lot of these skill sets are applicable across different industries. So if I hadn't went through that first 12 years where I was getting my balls kicked in, I didn't have any money, I didn't have anybody invest, I didn't have any of this shit. If I hadn't gone through that, how would I be able to compete now with people like that and other people who had those things? So you have to understand, if you build this skill set, your competitors that go out and get money, they're not developing the same skill set that you're developing because you're doing it the quote unquote hard way. And what happens is down the road, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years down the road, they might have some success in business. They might have a decent business, but they have not learned the skills that you have learned. So, and when all things are equal and the playing field is finally equaled out, you have a tremendous advantage over that other person because they got an investor or they had rich parents or they had these things. Okay. And that's not in every case, but that is in the vast majority of cases, 98%+. Okay. And that's where you want to be, because you want to be successful. You don't want to be mildly successful. You want to kick ass. You want to dominate. So you want to put yourself in the best position. And right now, your first 5, 6, 10 years, that's fucking training camp. That's going and practicing football and doing little league and doing junior high and doing high school and developing your craft, getting to college, and then graduating into the game. Okay. Now, if you took someone who was starting out, at 20 years old and they happened to run a 40-yard dash pretty quick and they're pretty
equipment.
Strong, yeah. Right? And they have
yeah.
the best equipment
yeah.
and you throw them on the football field against someone who started when they were 6, that guy's going to kick your ass. And that's the same thing that we're talking about in business. So when you don't have the resources in the beginning, you should actually recognize that that's a blessing that will come to fruition later down the road, which will allow you to be a better competitor and probably kick people's asses pretty easy because they lack all those lessons.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also cool. It's an important lesson here too, just in the ability to say, no, like, I don't need it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and being able to be that advocate for yourself, right? Because, like, I mean, I'm sure there was a bunch of opportunities that came your way that sounded good, looked really, really good, that you just had to say no to for whatever reason. And so maybe is this also a certain time where he's able to kind of flex that lesson and learn that lesson?
Yeah, for sure. But there's also a time aspect to life. You know, like if you can work for 2 or 3 years and get your skill set developed, or 5 years, get your skill set developed, and then your dad is willing to invest, that might be a good thing. But definitely not from the beginning, bro.
Yeah.
You know, people that get money in the beginning, here's what they do. They go out, they get an office, they get a cool car, they fucking get a business card, they put their name on the door, they name the company after themselves, you know, which is the ultimate ego move. By the way, stop naming your companies after your fucking selves. It's not marketable if you want to exit it.
Yeah.
Okay? Nobody wants to buy Joe Smith's company when Joe Smith is selling the company. Okay? So build a real brand that is bigger than yourself. And dude, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, bro, this happens all the time. It's reality. And I've seen it, and I've been doing this long enough to know that the people who grind it out are much more equipped to win than the people who were given anything. Mm. And, you know, if you get 5, 6 years in and you have a good grasp of what's going on, then you might need to seek some capital, or you might need to raise some capital, or you get an investor, or get a line of credit, or take some debt. Those things can accelerate your business tremendously. I never did that. And that's why it's taken me so long to get here. Okay. So looking back from where I'm at now, I kind of wish that, like, when I was 12, 13 years in, I would have done some of those things, because I would have been where I'm at now 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But on the flip side, how much better of an entrepreneur am I because I didn't? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And dude, I would personally rather have the skill set than the fast success so that I can compete at a higher level more effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. That's real, man. This was a, I like this question.
That's a good question.
That was cool.
Yeah, and dude, if you're one of these people who looks at other people and you think, oh, they're rich, they don't have any problems, their dad paid for everything, blah, blah, blah. Bro, those people have their own sets of insecurity. They understand, most of them, that, like, hey, man, I was born into this, and they feel guilty.
You have a fucking choice in this.
That's right. And so, like, dude, you guys who fucking say that shit to people, you need to, like, shut the fuck up. Because they can't help it, just like you can't help it.
Right, that you got born to shitty fucking parents.
Yeah.
This is what it is, man. I love it. Well, guys, Andy, question number two. Let's get to it. Hey, Andy, I'm 29, and I have just started my entrepreneurial journey. I've been a listener of yours for 4 years now, and outside of the 75 Hard program, I think the most crucial concept you've taught has been the powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You've taught that after you've gotten your 5 critical tasks done, the rest of the day is yours.
Yep.
But I feel like since I'm in the beginning stages of my business, I shouldn't have any time off. My question is whether or not I should be taking time away from work after the critical tasks are done, or if I should go harder at pushing my business further since I'm at the beginning stages of business.
Okay. That's a good question. When I say the rest of the day is yours, I don't necessarily mean you go to the park and fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I might do that sometimes. Maybe I'll go for a drive. Maybe I'll do something I want to do. But you're correct. I've been doing this 25 years. Okay. Most of the time when I finish my 5 lists, even to this day, how many days you see me leaving early?
None.
Okay.
Very rarely.
Like, most of the time my power list is done by noon.
Right.
Okay. So I choose to be here, and I choose to go around. And even though I don't have any quote unquote extra critical tasks, I choose to have conversations and to talk to people and to help people and to dig into what they're working on and try to solve their problems, because like you, I want to go as fast as possible. But in those situations where maybe I don't feel like doing that day, I still count the day as a win if my 5 critical tasks got done, because those were the most important 5 critical tasks that are going to move me forward over the course of time. So this is a way for you to break out of what they call hustle culture, right? Where you have to work 40 hours out of 24 every single day, because those people are full of shit too. Nobody really works like that. Okay. They say, oh, I get up at 2 a.m. and I'm up till 1 a.m. and I sleep for an hour and I do bullshit, bro. You're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, like, anybody that does that, like, if you go against me, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
okay, with 5 critical tasks a day, because you're going to be able to do that for a year, 2 years. I'm going to be able to do 5 critical tasks until I fucking die. And these are not tasks like, hey, you know, tie my shoes. These are like, hey, call this manufacturer, talk to this, you know, person that's going to open up this channel of business, call this, you know what I'm saying? These are things that are going to move you forward. And if you do those consistently over the course of time, the cake's going to bake just fine. But here's what I don't want you to do. And this is where people really fuck it up, is instead of putting 5 on there, they put 15. Okay. Instead of like just loosely still working on the business, they put 15 on there. And then what happens is they get 7 done. Right. So the day is a loss because you didn't get your critical task done. All right. So the next day they put 14 on there, they get 6 done. That's a loss. The next day they put 15 on there, they get 11 done. That's a loss. And the reason that this is a problem is because every time you have a loss, you're actually reducing the trust, reducing the confidence, reducing the belief that you have in yourself that you can actually win the day. So 5 critical tasks are enough to build a very, very, very successful life. And if you do that consistently, you can avoid the idea that you have to work 24 hours a day, and you can have freedom and you can feel good about it without feeling stressed and guilty, because you know that the critical things that need to get done are done. Now, if you want to choose to still continue to, you know, dream and think and work with your people and build something, bro, fucking have at it, dude. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. I love to work. I'm usually on the phone till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, not because it's on my list of critical tasks, but because I enjoy it, right? And so I don't necessarily, you know, just check out after my 5 are done, but I do allow myself to do that if I want to do that at those times, which gives me a sense of balance. It gives me a sense of freedom. It gives me a sense that I'm not working as hard as I actually am, and my life is still moving forward day by day by day. You know, this success is very, very, very simple. It's very simple. Okay. It is the matter of winning one day and then the next day and then the next day and then the next day. It is one win at a time, one day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time. And you accumulate that over the course of a year, you know, good things start to happen. And so if you win enough days, you win the week. If you win enough weeks, you win the month. If you win enough months, you win the year. If you win enough years, guess what you win? You win your life, all right? And that is a very simple, very honest, very true, fail-safe system to getting where you want to go. It's the only system that I've ever seen that I believe, if you execute, is completely foolproof. I believe that if you execute the powerless properly, you cannot fucking not get where you want to go. You can't miss. I think it's a systematic way to guarantee success. And if you want to know what the powerless system is, it's a free system that I created back in 2000 that I used to build my entire life. And I started talking about it on the podcast in 2015. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've used my entire life. It's a huge tool. And I, you know, to this guy's credit, yeah, it's probably the most powerful system that you could use for personal production. And, you know, 75 Hard Live Hard is a different kind of development process. But yeah, these are two effective systems that guarantee success if you execute them properly. So go to episode 16 on the audio feed, get it for free. There's also a powerless journal on my website you can buy and start using it.
Yeah.
Because it fucking works.
Now, let me ask you this, because you said you've been using the system since fucking, like, since you started in business, yeah, right? And so, like, that's a long time.
It was, like, 2001 or 2 when I started using it.
Yeah.
I can't remember, dude. That was a long time ago now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Getting up there.
I know. I fucking know, bro. You don't tell me. Fuck, you should feel what it's like for me to move around.
Yeah. No, I want to ask you, though, because, you know, I think... I like the mindset this guy has, right? Like, you know, he's saying he's early in business and, you know, he wants to make sure the business strives to success and succeeds. Sure. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say you have an entrepreneur who's same situation, same boat, and guess what? Like, yeah, they're getting their 5 critical tasks done. Is there such a thing as also, you know, you get your 5 critical tasks done and then the rest of the day you're doing 5 critical fuck-ups that's almost erasing that progress you just made? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility, but it's also a possibility that the 5 original critical tasks are wrong as well. Mm. So that's part of the problem. You know, like we talked about a minute ago with this guy getting funding for his business.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know what the critical tasks are to get where you want to go and you're putting the wrong ones down, you're not going to get there. So you have to have enough critical thinking and enough foresight and enough ability to deduce from the end result that you're going for back down to individual actions, right?
Yeah.
So you want to get here in the next 10 years. You want to be here. What's it going to take for you to get there? And you backtrack that out. And then you start chunking those down into, you know, yearly parts of the puzzle, and then eventually daily parts of the puzzle. And what you'll find out is that what you think will take you 10 years, if you execute a plan like this, will take you much less, because a lot of the things that we think need to happen are these big elaborate things, but it's not really that. It's one or two phone calls, and then those people help you get those things done, and they happen very fast. So when you actually do this, when you actually think about where you want to go, you chunk it down into, you know, the steps needed to get there, and then you take those steps and you chunk them down even further back all the way down to daily actions, you know, what you're going to find out is how far you can go and how fast you can go is actually a much faster rate than what you thought before. So yeah, you have to be able to break that down into the daily tasks. Otherwise, you don't know if you're doing the right ones. And then a part of it is you are going to pick the wrong ones sometimes. And sometimes you're going to pick the wrong ones. You're going to work on something. You're going to work on something. You're going to work on something. And then you're going to figure out, oh, this isn't going to work this way. And then you got to change and pivot. Mm-hmm. But since, you know, you've been moving the needle forward in multiple directions, that one setback isn't going to bury you. You see what I'm saying? Right. So a lot of this is learning through experience too, which the power list allows you to do, because that's just making a pivot along the way.
Well, the discipline part of that too, because you still did what you told yourself you were going
to do. And it's going to build confidence.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You don't want to have a bunch of losses in your power list, because bro, that makes you believe that you can't get it done.
Right.
When you have a bunch of when you have fucking 400 wins in a row, do you really, how could you not believe that you can get your shit done? Like you start to believe, well, I can do anything. I can make anything work. I can make this work. No big deal. Look how much I've moved forward in the last, you know, 400 days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. Well, guys, that was question two. Third and final question. Andy, you mentioned how important it was to know where you're going, right? That's kind of what question three is about. So let's get into it. Question number three. Good morning, Andy and DJ. Thank you guys for all the insight on life and the do's and don'ts. I absolutely love your episodes and the things you have to say about entrepreneurship and your political views. I'm sure this has already been a question, but I haven't heard that episode yet. How did you guys figure out what you wanted to do in life? I have a bunch of different things that I would like to do, but I don't know for sure what path I should take. Any insight on this would be greatly appreciated. Thank you guys. Have a kick-ass day.
Listen, dude, this is why most people never get anywhere. Most people are incapable of picking a direction and going.
Just going.
They observe the possibilities. They get paralyzed by all the possibilities. They refuse to move forward on all the possibilities. And then time passes them by. So it's very important that you make a decision and you go down that path. You commit to that path with the mentality of having zero options. I don't have a choice but to see this through. Okay. If I don't see this through, I'm going to be digging ditches. That's what I tell myself. When I don't want to come here and I don't want to do this and I get tired of, you know, doing what I do, which happens to everybody, you go through ups and downs. I pretend like I have zero options. I say, well, if I don't fucking do this, bro, I'm going to be digging ditches. So I better show the fuck up and get it done. And that might sound ridiculous to you because that's not the truth anymore, but I still tell myself that, and that's how I operate. So you have to pick something and then you have to commit to it for as long as that's going to take to make sure that you see it through. And the other thing people do is they pick something and then when it gets hard, they decide they want to change to one of the other options. And then when that gets hard, they change to one of the other options. And you can't get anywhere with that either. You're going to have to realize that whatever you pick, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. There's going to be times when you love it. There's going to be times when you fucking hate it, when you'd rather do anything else but that. But you have to keep going because it takes that long to materialize into success. Now, in terms of what you want to pick, you know, there's a lot of different philosophies on this and a lot of different thought processes. But what's very important, in my opinion, in the beginning is that two things come in mind. One, you pick something that you actually care about, that you're actually passionate about. And a lot of people say, do what you're passionate about. Okay, yeah, that's true. But why is it true? Well, here, I'll explain it. Because the first 3 or 4 years, you're not going to fucking make any money. You think you are, but I promise you, you won't. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to believe in this thing or enjoy doing this thing for long enough that it bridges the gap between when you start and when you actually start making a lot of money. And I'm not talking about coaching on the internet. I'm talking about building a real company with equitable back end that you can sell later on that actually makes you wealthy. I'm not talking about some internet bullshit. I'm talking about real fucking business. And so you need to pick something that you care about, that you're passionate about, because you need to understand that from when you start to when it starts to produce fruit is going to be time. And that love and that passion and that drive is going to have to carry you through that process. So what are you passionate about? First thing to think about. Secondly, what can be scaled into a brand, into a business that will get you the life that you want? A lot of people pick what they're passionate about, but not a lot of people ask themselves, can this actually be scaled out to be something? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, or even just think about it.
Huh? Yeah.
Or even just think about it.
What do you mean?
Like, think about how it could be scaled up.
Yeah. If you pick something you're passionate about that really can't become what it is that's going to provide your life, you're going to spend all this time doing this thing and it's never going to produce what it is you want to produce. So do you love it enough to do it for free for a little bit? And can it be scaled into something that can provide the life you want? Those are the two questions that you need to ask, all right? And, you know, you can make money doing almost anything. One of the examples that I use is butterflies, all right? Some people are passionate about butterflies, and you say, well, fuck, dude, how am I supposed to get money making butterflies? Well, you could start a butterfly YouTube. You could start a butterfly blog. You could actually make some t-shirts with butterflies on it. You could make stickers. You could make bags. You could make an entire brand about butterflies, and you could market it to all the other people that like butterflies. And you might love that. But here's the thing. How big can it get? What can it become? Are you going to take that butterfly brand and turn it into a high-end apparel like Gucci with little butterfly logo on it? You could do that, right? There's all kinds of things that you can do to transition into scaling, but you should think about those before you start. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go here. I'm going to make a butterfly blog. I'm going to make a YouTube. I'm going to make some shirts. I'm going to do this. And then eventually I'm going to transition into a high value luxury brand like Louis Vuitton with a little butterfly logo. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to think this all the way through and take some time planning it out, so you don't spend all this time on a mission that there is no winning at the end,
yeah.
Or at least enough winning that's going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. And so for you, right? Cause I feel like I remember you saying one time, it's like, you know, you became an entrepreneur because you didn't like being told what to do or mm-hmm. something to that effect. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So how did
it's
you,
one of the reasons.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one of the reasons, right? Is that common with entrepreneurs?
I find that most entrepreneurs that are like that are legitimately like self-made type people are definitely people that don't respect the rules that everybody else respects. Because you have to break rules. You have to think outside the box. You have to think in ways that other people don't think. And the people that do that best are people that like have problems with the rules of general society.
Yeah, structure and fucking, yeah.
And this is why people either become entrepreneurs or they become fucking criminals.
That's real shit.
Okay? That's the truth.
That's real shit.
It's the truth. A lot of criminals would be awesome entrepreneurs if they play within the bounds of the law.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the only difference, bro.
It's not that different.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I like Young Dolph so much, because he sings about drugs and crime, but like he's a hustler. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you take a mind like that and you put him in a legitimate, you know, scenario, that guy's going to be successful because he understands where the game is played.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, dude, breaking rules is a pretty common theme. Doing things your own way is a pretty common theme. You don't find many entrepreneurs that are like very stiff in terms of that. You just don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's real, man.
Because sometimes you just got to make shit happen, dude. You got to figure out how to make it happen. And, you know, within the constraints and the boundaries that they give us in society, you know, thinking like a normal person, right? Go to high school, go to college, get the house with the white picket fence, have 2.5 kids, work you know, your next 70 years and then retire when you're fucking 107, right?
Right.
Like, that's not how entrepreneurs think. Entrepreneurs don't think like that. They don't even buy into the, what I call the list. The list is what you're supposed to do, what they told you you're supposed to do. And the more society changes, the less important that list is. We're to a point now where even mainstream colleges don't even require, or mainstream jobs don't even require college degrees anymore. You see what I'm saying?
A lot of them.
Things are changing. Yeah. And so being of sound mind and learning how to critically think and learning how to think outside the box to get to the destination that you want to get to is extremely important. And you should have the foresight to do that before you spend all this time dedicated to that thing and then figuring out that you can't get where you want to go.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, guys, Andy, that was three.
Yeah, guys. Let's have a good week. Let's go kick ass. Be good to each other. Make some fucking money. And don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
Sleeping on the floor, now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl, fuck a stove, counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole, got her on bankroll. Can't fold, does a no, headshot, case closed.